Brothers and sisters, let's open our Bibles, please, to the book of Revelation. We start with a new chapter tonight, Revelation chapter 16. The title of our sermon tonight is The Seven Bowl Judgments. The Seven Bowl Judgments. Where are we tonight as far as prophetic timeline? We are now towards the end of the tribulation period. You know that the tribulation period is a seven-year period wherein, before the tribulation period, the church is raptured out of the earth. And so we won't be here during this time. Praise the Lord. We will not suffer the judgments that the Lord will pour out onto the earth, especially to those who are unbelievers, to those who are following the Antichrist and that false prophet that gives power to him. We will not be here. So as we have studied these past chapters, there will be a series of judgments. We know that these judgments, as we have studied this now, that we realize two things. Number one, it's not just one big judgment that will be poured out all together at one time. Be a series of judgments, one after the other. And we have first tackled the sealed judgments in chapter 6. And we have seven of those sealed judgments all the way down to chapter 8. So one after the other. But at the same time, we understand that after the sealed judgments, we have further judgments, chapter 8 and chapter 9, the trumpet judgments. Again, one after the other. And now, we are here in chapter 16, where we'll tackle the bowl judgments. Again, the system is the same. One after the other. So that's what we see, that the judgment of God is not truly just one big blow. This future judgment will not come as one sudden catastrophic event to end all life here. No, it's gradual. But at the same time, secondarily, we realize as we look at the judgments that throughout the tribulation, there will be a sense of intensification. Now, we used that word again. This morning, we used that word, and now tonight, we're going to use it again. Intensification. There will be an intensification of judgments. It's not as if that during the sealed judgments, we see, oh, very simple. No, they're really horrifying. But still, we see the description of the book of Revelation that as we go to the trumpet judgments, the judgments are intensified. And much more when we go to the bowl judgments here. They will be more intensified. And that's what we see. Now, the seven bowl judgments can be grouped into three groups. The first group relate to the natural world. Look at the first judgment there unto verse number 9, which covers the fourth bowl judgment. They're more towards nature. You know, the earth, the sea, the rivers, the sun, the ocean. The second group, the next two bowls, the fifth bowl, all the way down to the sixth bowl, relate more to the political arena, relate more to the beast and his armies and his throne, his reign. That's the second grouping of these judgments. Then finally, the seventh bowl, which we find in verses 17 through 21, will wrap up everything. It's just God pouring out the most intensified, horrifying judgment of all. Just everything is going to be poured down on the earth, on the unbelievers. So that's the groupings here of the bold judgments that we will see in chapter 16. And so tonight, what we're going to do is tackle the first two. I think we only have time for the first two. So let's go there in chapter 16 and I read verses 1 to 3. Then I heard a loud voice from the temple saying to the seven angels, go and pour out the bowls of the wrath of God on the earth. So the first went and poured out his bowl upon the earth, and a foul and loathsome sore came upon the men who had the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. Then the second angel poured out his bowl on the sea, and it became blood, as of a dead man. And every living creature in the sea died. So here we are now in chapter 16. And John gives us a different level now of vision. When he said, then I heard. What does he hear? The next words there says loud voice. Loud voice. Now we have seen this word over and over again in the book of Revelation. This word loud. It appears, in fact, in this chapter alone, 6 times. And it can be translated great. It is a great voice. Again, emphasizing the magnitude, the intensity of the judgments that are going to be recorded here. But not only in this chapter, we know that in chapter 15 and even before that, we have seen this loud voices. In fact, I think the count is around 20 times we hear loud voices in this book. And we see that this loud voice is heard from the temple. And last time we discussed from chapter 15 that the temple is a symbol of the presence of God. So that means this loud voice is the voice of God. No one's voice is heard here except the voice of God. It's not the angel's voice or somebody else's voice that's powerful in the political arena. No. It's God's voice. He is the only one worthy to pour out the judgment on the earth, on the unbelievers. He's the holy, majestic God that we have just sung tonight. So this is his voice coming out from the temple. This is the loud, the great voice of judgment coming out of the temple. And he is talking to the 7 angels. Remember the 7 angels from chapter 15? He's talking to the 7 angels, angelos, messengers. So these are angels, these are servants of God that are ready to go out and do his bidding. So this is God talking to his 7 angels now. And he commands all 7 of them. And that's why it's really horrifying, because you know the story in the Old Testament on what one angel did to a big army. And just overnight, hundreds of thousands of them were killed by just one angel. How much more with 7 angels? And what does the voice say? Look at your Bibles. Verse number 1. Go and pour out the bowls of the wrath of God on the earth. Go and pour out the bowls of the wrath of God on the earth. So this is now the command to move forward with the plan. Now is the execution. It's execution time. Now it's action time. No more waiting. In chapter 15, there was a preparation for the bowl judgment, and they were told, don't go yet. But now, verse number 1, chapter 16, go. It's time. It's time. And God says, pour out the bowls. Now last time we discussed that the bowl is not like a huge bowl that is deep. He said that the bowl here is a shallow saucer almost. So that the Greek word therefore pour out, is you pour it quickly. Not in a way that you're drinking your soup saucepan and you're doing it slowly because it's hot. No, it's not like that. You pour it quickly. And that's the Greek word there. You pour out the bowls quickly. And the bowls do not contain good food or soup or salad. The word of God says there, these are bowls of the wrath of God on the earth. And what we will see here, as what I've said, are judgments on the earth, which relates to the physical aspect. The sun, the sea, and all of that. The first two will be on the health of the people. They will have a disease. And then the second bowl will be on the sea. Now, a lot of those who don't believe in the supernatural would say, oh, these are just natural things happening on the earth. Because, I mean, yeah, having sores, that's natural. Having problems on the ocean, that's natural. But dearly beloved, if you look at the context here, these are supernatural acts of God. God is the one acting here. And these are his judgments. We do not accept any natural explanation here, but a supernatural reason for this. So these are the wrath of God. And remember the definition of our word wrath in chapter 15. This is a passionate outburst of anger of God. That's why the picture there is pour out quickly, the bowl. It's not a slow pouring out, it's quick pouring out of the wrath of God. So that is the picture here. So the first angel responds to this command of God. Verse number 2. Immediately here, the first angel went. And he poured out his bowl upon the earth, and a foul or a bad and loathsome sore came upon the man who had the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. That is the result here of the pouring out of the bowl. Now, highlight those words foul and loathsome. Another translation would use the words, yes, loathsome, but malignant as well is also used there. Malignant. This is not a simple rash. You know, like, oh, I have a rash here, my skin is dry, I need to put some lotion there, or we use mugu or whatever there for our eczema or something like that. We're talking about eczema here. We're not just talking about their dandruff or something like that, you know, that you can just wash off with a shampoo. No. We're talking here about sores that are festering, that are painful, and incurable. These are sores that are not just on the outer layer of the skin, but these are sores that go deeper. And they have a stench. They have certain stench of foulness in them. That even if you're a meter away, you can smell it. That's the kind of sores that we're talking about here. That the bowl was poured into. John Phillips suggests this sore may be directly related to the mark of the beast they received. He said, there on the right hand, a horrible, putrefying, incurable cancer. There on the face, a loathsome, ugly, disfiguring, and agonizing blotch. Men become horrible to look upon, and their pains never end. These are the kind of sores that appear upon the men. But the men specifically here mentioned are the men who had the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. So not all men, only those men who had the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. This is the specific group of people. So this source will not affect believers. Because you know, during the tribulation period, there will be people who will be saved. There will be people who will come to know Jesus as their Savior. And they, of course, their names would have been written from the foundation of the world in the book of life of the Lamb who has been slain. Chapter 13, verse 8. They will come only, these sources will only come upon those who chose to follow the Antichrist and received the mark to show their allegiance and worshipped his image. Those are the people who will be judged by God himself, so that they will receive these sores. And I don't know how that even the advancement of medicine during this time, it doesn't seem to have that technology. Because this is really something that is supernatural. This is something much more serious than what a normal pandemic would fester on the people. So these are the sores that will come upon the men who worship the beast, the Antichrist, and his image. So, dearly beloved, we see here the second bowl on the third verse. Then, it says, John, the second angel poured out his bowl. Now, the same concept, saucer-like bowl, pouring out the wrath of God quickly. Quickly. And this time, on the sea. And the word sea here just means the oceans. Now, we have several oceans in the world. We have the biggest one is one that we're connected to mostly, the Pacific Ocean. The peaceful ocean. That's the word Pacific. That's what the word means. We have, of course, the Atlantic. We have the Arctic. We have other ones as well. So that's what we're referring here when John said the second angel poured out his bowl on the sea. This is the aspect of the judgment that we see here with regards to the second bowl, the sea. Now, what happens here when the angel poured out his bowl in the sea? The word of God tells us, and it, the sea, the oceans, became blood as of a dead man. As of a dead man. Now, we understand that in the other judgments, in the earlier judgments that we had, we have a similar kind of judgment, if you remember. Remember in the trumpet judgments, chapter 8 and 9, water was also struck as a form of judgment, wherein one third of water supply was poisoned. So that we're looking at now, during that time, in the trumpet series, it's more on the rivers and the lakes. Those are the water supply that we usually go to when we talk about potable water. But we're not talking about potable water now in chapter 16, verse 3. We're talking about now the oceans. The oceans around the globe. And so, one author said this about this specific judgment. Exactly what supernatural means God will use to destroy the oceans is not revealed. Only that it says here, it became blood as of a dead man. But the effects will resemble those of the phenomenon known as the red tide. Have you ever heard of the red tide? Do you experience that here in Australia as well? We do in the Philippines almost every year, something like that. It's some kind of a toxin that creates that kind of effect to the ocean. And so our fishermen are told not to do fishing during this time or not to specifically harvest these kinds of things like shells or whatever because they're mostly affected. But one author said, yeah, this resembles the phenomenon of a red tide, concentrated, toxic species of algae. Algae kill higher forms of marine life, including shellfish, fish, and marine mammals. Now, these words became blood as of a dead man, and every living creature in the sea died. It's such a horrifying scenario, because now we understand that there will be stench as well coming from the ocean. And you know that the ocean is 70% of our Earth's surface. That's how big the ocean is. Have you tried flying from Asia to the U.S.? That is almost 13 hours of flying. And that is actually the shortest route if you really fly on the bulging part of the globe. Because our globe is oblate spheroid. It's bigger on the hips. I'm sorry to say that, but it's bigger on the hips. If you travel around the hips, it's longer. That's how vast the Pacific Ocean is. And 70% of our surface of the earth is oceans. Can you imagine that the entire ocean and every living creature in the oceans have died? Can you imagine the havoc that it will cause? Shellfish, fish, marine animals, and the decaying bodies of living thing in the sea everywhere. Now, you remember as well that in the second trumpet judgment, it's almost like this, but it's only partial death. But now, judgment on the bowl judgments, every living creature died. Unimaginable. Countries like the Philippines will suffer so much because we're dependent on fishing. We have 7,107 islands. And imagine all the communities around the coast that depend on marine life. Not just for business, for selling this so that they will have money, but for their own consumption. And remember, during these times we had red tide in the Philippines, people starved if they won't fish. So even though we had red tide, some fishermen disobeyed the directives from our Bureau of Fisheries. They still went out because they'd rather eat something than to die. But the result of that to their body is toxic. You see? A lot of people died. And that's only the Philippines. Dearly beloved, we're seeing this in a global scale. Global scale. Imagine the effect to economy, to health. One author said the transforming of the world seas into putrid pools of stinking death will be graphic testimony to the wickedness of man and a reversal to the day when God originally gave life to all sea creatures. Now, God will allow death. The one who created everything. By the way, what day did God create all the marine life? Ah, that's your assignment. Not day 7. Are you sure of that? But now the God who created everything allowed his judgment to be poured out on this specific aspect of his creation. So that they all died. Dearly beloved, as we continue our study here next time we're together, I hope we will see that here is God now, the worthy one, the holy one, the magnificent one, the powerful one, showing the earth who is truly on the throne. Because mankind will be so helpless. Technology, all these things that we have created, advancements in every single field, will have nothing to offer to solve these problems. Medicine on the first bowl judgment, fisheries, marine technology will all fall down, will all bend their knees to the Creator God who created the body and who created the oceans and all the marine life living there, because He will send forth His judgment. Oh, dearly beloved, may we be reminded tonight of the blessing that the church will be spared from these judgments. And as we end tonight, I want us to remember that in our lives, as Christians, looking into these judgments that's coming, I hope there will be two passions that will come out first, that we will have the passion towards the holy judgment of God. You know, the world today, it doesn't like the word judgment, doesn't like the word justice, especially relating to God, that God is a judge, that God will have this justice, that God will punish sin. They don't like that. The world doesn't like that at all. They only love a God who is merciful, kind, gracious. And that is true. He is that too. But they don't want a God who does these things. But we as Christians must have a balance of both. Yes, we're passionate over the attribute of God, the attributes of God, that He is love and kindness and mercy and faithfulness and goodness. But also that He is just and He is holy. Because you may think, why would God do this? Because He is just and holy. He will punish sin and He will judge sin. But the second passion is I hope that we will have a deep passion for what God is passionate about as well for today's age, the age of grace. And that is to tell the people, the lost people of the world, of the gospel. The good news that Jesus Christ came from heaven to earth. He lived a perfect, sinless life. He offered his life in the cross of Calvary. He died. He was buried. And he rose again. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Brothers and sisters, we are reading this with such joy. I won't be there. Thank the Lord. But your neighbor, your friend, your family, they will go through this. And even, of course, eternal judgment for all those who will not trust the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. May we be passionate today. I don't know where God will lead you this week. I don't know where God will lead your path in your work, in your school, in your neighborhood, where you will run for your exercise, where you will have your bushwalk, or where will you drive, where you will, which petrol station you will go to, which supermarket you will go to, who you will bump along the way, or who you will talk to. But may we pray for a divine appointment this week. Lord, give me a divine appointment. One of my teachers, mentors who taught me evangelism, he called that divine appointment. Lord, give me divine appointments this week. Divine appointments where I can freely and joyfully and lovingly declare the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. May that be our prayer this week, amongst others. I know our hands are full. But may we have a passion, Lord. Give me a passion for the lost today. They are dying, and they may be going around doing their things, but they're dead. They need Christ. They need the bread of life. They need the living waters. Father, we thank you for these precious words. These words bring shingles. It brings a sense of sadness as well in our hearts. It kind of like a fear, a respectful fear of you, or godly fear of you, because of your justice, because of your holiness. We're thankful that we will not experience this anymore. But I pray that before this time of judgment, before the tribulation comes, you may use us, that you would use us to be an instrument of your grace. That many, O Lord, will come to hear the sweetest words of our mouth, not the current political situation, not about problems of our societies, not about what's happening with our lives, our families. And these are important things, are good things. But Father, we have the wonderful words of life that people need to hear so that scales from their eyes will fall off, and that they will see. They will see the Lord Jesus Christ truly as the only way, the truth, and the life. And that no man comes to the Father but by Him. So Lord, help us to be that person this week. I pray, Lord, that we will be able to hear testimonies of thanksgiving on who you will save this week using us as your instruments. We praise you and thank you for the Lord Jesus, our Savior, our friend, our keeper. In His name we pray. Amen.